It picked right up where we left off.
Do we not have any audio?
I got nothing. The band hasn't shown up. We literally had video problems minutes before the show started.
I can sing the song again.
This
if
is
you want.
Awesome. It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are?
We don't. It's Patch and Switch. Okay.
And now two guys who are supposed to be technical and can't figure out what the hell is going on. All right.
Is this camera live yet?
Yes.
I don't know. Can I point right to the camera lens? Yes.
It's like, ooh.
3D.
I don't think the 3D system is working.
No, it's not. It's not. Hey, man.
Hey, buddy.
I've never been this close to you before, especially in this room.
Well, actually, that's not true because when we were shooting the Countdown Show videos, we were generally always uncomfortably close.
Okay, that's true.
But it looks great on camera.
Okay, I guess it does. The wide fisheye effect. The fish was this big when I caught it. This big.
How big?
So it's Friday. We're here for the show. We have no audio. We've got no sound effects.
We've got nothing.
The camera switcher isn't working.
Right. We can't even switch things. It's falling apart. What's happening?
I can't work in these conditions.
They're building a new one.
Yeah, it's true. It is true.
At least that's what Larry said. So hello and welcome, everybody, to another exciting episode of the Patch and Switch Show. I don't even know who's here.
Yes.
Do we actually have a chat
room? Refresh
the
chat room?
Are there people here?
Yes, the Linux chat room is up and running.
Oh,
folks.
Excellent, excellent. Big hello to Pierre Roman, MG Bennett or Bnet, JK, my man Joe Kelly. There's Chuck Rocks Canada, Steve Hosko, Jason Velocity, Vizio MVP, Desired by Life, Wireless Life is here. Sean Lowe, J Shock, Peace Drama, Ludwig has joined us at least until we start talking about beer. Mr. Blacksway. Aldershot, oh goodness, I just lost you. Where did you go? Aldershot Chris, MKE077, and then I've got a bone to pick with Enzbezito.
What's wrong with Enzbezito?
So apparently the man J-Shock was listening to an episode of The Bump earlier on his way in, and he posted something. Tough. And Enzbezito posts up, he's like, Mr. Black Sweden, no need to try to voice it out. Okay. So he comes up on Twitter and he replies, hey, I need to find, has there been a good episode of The Bump lately?
Oh,
I need to find some good songs. I'm like,
nice.
That's like walking up to a DJ and going, hey, can you play something good?
Or like when I asked you if all you did was like play things off of your iPad.
Exactly. It's like, of course there's a good episode of The Bump. Mm. There's every episode of The Bump is good.
So if I accidentally grab your hand while we're doing this, it's just because I'm trying to grab my coffee.
No. Stop. Mm. Did they just let slip a new secret bunker is being built? I don't think that's a secret. I think we've talked about that before on the program, which is why there's construction noise going on. Yeah. There is absolutely no air conditioning in here.
No.
So at some point I'm going to have to open the door behind us just because it's very stuffy in here.
I just, it's weird, man.
And it's quiet.
It is quiet.
It's like deathly quiet in here. But other than I did
take my glasses off. I can't see.
I did hear the TriCaster's starting to work.
Yeah, it's starting to kick in again.
But it doesn't do anything. We can't like do anything.
Is it switch?
Why is that button blinking?
Yeah. Is that supposed to blink over there?
I can't even hear you.
I know.
I think his mic's off.
Is that better?
Is it?
Oh, there it is.
There he is.
That's our audio guy.
It blinks.
In case you don't know, the audio guy's off camera. That's J-Shock.
Hey.
We pay him a whopping $1.380 to be
Mr. Black Sweden says, did you charge the GoPro this time? We always charge the GoPros.
Yes.
Whether they last, that's another question.
If we had the ability, I would actually turn the camera around. You could see it, like sort of like we did last week. It's literally held up by some duct tape and some other stuff. And
you know what we should do is we should have J-Shock turn off the other camera that we're not using just in case
it's overheats.
This one dies or overheats.
It overheats, yeah. Yeah, I can do that.
No, you stay here. Let's let him. You're doing.
I got it.
Jeez.
I don't even know why.
So
we just.
Jeez. And there it goes.
And this is why I wanted J-Shock to do
back.
It.
We're back. Got it. There we go.
Sorry.
Got it. We still have a feed. So,
are we still online?
We're still here.
Did Larry shut us off yet?
Sean Lowe says, I figured they were in a round room.
Yes.
With padding.
Yes.
That's what we need to be in.
with lovely tight jackets.
Now, I'm just curious if there's any new people that have never seen the show before in the chat room.
Those poor people.
Yeah, no. And also for all of our friends in the Southern Hemisphere and alternate time zones that would be catching this on replay. You know, we actually do have an audience in Australia, at least of one.
Yes.
At least of one.
At least.
But for those that are new to the show, just in case there happens to be anyone that happens to be listening for the very first time.
I'm going to open the door.
Yeah, right, go ahead. Open the door. Right. So if you hear, you know, John the construction plumber guy walking past, he might pop in and say hello. You never know.
You usually do.
MKE077 did point out we're in walleye vision.
Walleye.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I feel like I'm swimming upstream as it is.
MGBnet says he's new to the live show. He's watched recordings before.
Well, there you go. So with the live show and with the recordings, we generally tend to have about five topics. And the very first topic, the zero topic, is about introduction and chatting and saying hello to people inside the chat room.
Yes.
So if you are watching this live, you can go to patchandswitch.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a link there that says click the chat room. Or you can just go to tlk.io/patchandswitch. You know what I heard?
First, Dave Hosko is new to live as well. He says time zones suck for Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
So it's great to see Steve.
Yeah.
And MGBnet.
Awesome. They have hired, this is a breaking news story.
Oh.
Channel 9 has expended resources to be able to build the Patch and Switch chat plugin.
What?
It's officially being developed as we speak. Yeah. Oh, we got sound effects now.
Yep.
We actually have a chat room that is being developed.
Oh, nice. We've got a laugh track now, too.
Just no band.
Just no band.
Just no band.
They might be back for the
end. We have a live studio audience.
Hey, guess what we have now also?
Can you switch it?
Can you switch now?
We've got switching.
Nice. There you go. Perfect.
Nice.
It was the blinky light, huh?
No, it wasn't the blinky light.
It's still blinking. Oh. But, yes, so they actually are building a chat room. And
when did you hear this?
When I was... What is it? Suma? Is that her name?
Soma?
Soma. Not Soma.
No, okay.
It's Suma. Soma's like the big guy.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
left.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about Suma is the PM for Channel 9.
Oh, the new PM, yes.
And she basically let it hint that they originally had the chat room on as a hackathon, otherwise known as free labor, during our internal one-week internal tech conference.
Yes.
But they took that off the list to propose projects, and I replied back instantly saying, what are you doing, man? We need a chat room. And she says, no. We hired someone for that. It's that important. And so I'm like, perfect. We have a chat room on the way.
That's fantastic.
So it might actually last longer when we have system overload or we get above 25 people.
It might last longer. Are we capped to 25 people?
Well, no, that's when Linux falls over for this particular chat room because it's a free service that we're using.
Nice. Nice. Very nice. The audience liked that one too. Mr. Black Sweden says that's going to be abused. You're absolutely right. We are going to abuse the laugh track.
You got it.
Tiago Costa has joined us as well. Oddity is here. He says you guys are becoming big time. No, I don't know about that by any means.
Nope.
I think what it is that we had Larry on as a guest, and he realized
what kind of a ragtaggle show this is, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like Battlestar Galactica, right? The intro. Do you remember the old intro? Like, a ragtag fleet. That's what we are. We're a ragtag fleet. Exactly. Let's see. Jason Velocity says, Joey should dig out his old Gemini mixer and give us some siren and helicopter effects. I have never used a Gemini mixer that has effects like that. Just saying. I don't think I've ever used a Gemini mixer.
I don't even know what a Gemini mixer is.
There was the dodgy mixer that they made us use One Tech Ed Europe.
Don't touch the cables.
Yeah, okay. don't move the cables. Yeah, anyway, Oddity's like, no Skype for business? No, we need a chat room.
Yeah.
We need a chat room.
Yeah.
Let's see. Aldershot says, the laugh track makes me think I'm watching Happy Days. The Fonz is going to walk in that open door in a minute.
Hey!
This is a show about nothing. This is more like Seinfeld, so yeah. I'm waiting for...
Newman to pop in the
Newman
door.
Or
Kramer.
Kramer, yeah.
So is the hat going to jump the shark?
No.
Okay, we have 5 segments of the show.
Yes.
Let's actually get to the show.
Yes, we should.
5 segments. The very first segment, otherwise known as From the Trenches. What have you been doing at work these days?
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, we do actually have day jobs.
We do.
In some way, shape, or form, working in the technology industry.
You're right. I do work in the technology industry, which is shocking to see if you've actually been on this show and seen just how little technology we are really use.
We just make it work. What have you been working on, buddy?
I have been I've been doing some Azure AD stuff. Have you seen some blog posts lately?
Did you write blog posts?
No, I haven't written any, but kind of make sure that they're
make sure they actually happen.
It's not my job, but I'm taking credit.
You hate writing blog posts. You're never a blog post guy.
You know, here's the funny thing. We were doing we did one of those all hands meetings, right, with our entire entire org.
With all hands?
Yes. It was actually an offsite that was not offsite. Can you hear that on the mic?
I did. I'm like, what is that? We have people climbing ladders right outside this window.
And
right
saws
here.
And everything. Chuck Richards, do you need a hard hat? I think we might, actually. So anyway, in the all hands, there was some exercise of getting to know people because our team has grown so rapidly. And he kind of put a little known fact in about you and the guests in. Anything that had something to do with winning writing contests or editing stuff came to me.
Nice.
And they're like, yo, Joey's a writer. And I went, oh, no, I'm not. Just because I edit content does not make me a writer.
Now, he's good if you write it for him and then he makes it into his own words. Or just, you know, puts it in the proper voice.
I think it's putting it in the proper voice.
Is that a saw?
That's a saw.
Oh.
Yeah. There's going on. And do I have to? I'm going to have to close the door.
No, keep it open. It's fine, man. It brings authenticity to it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's authenticity. Right, it's good. Especially with that tub of plastic cables and crap that you use to keep the door open.
Yeah, but people can't
okay,
see that.
Okay, I don't watch King of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
You better not spoil it because I'm a season behind.
No, I'm just saying. There's been a lot of stuff with like door jams. What's the whole thing with door jams going on?
I don't know and I don't care.
Okay, but
until I get caught up, which I'm going to do because I am flying to London and then Bucharest.
So he's got time to kill.
I've got time to kill, so I'm going to get caught up because I've already seen it looks like BA actually has the Game of Thrones stuff on there.
Nice.
Fingers crossed they'll have it.
I had horrible movie choices on my flight back from Italy, I have to say.
Yeah?
Horrible movie choices.
For those that don't know, Mr. Rick was just in Italy.
Yeah.
Milan?
Milan.
That's very fashionable place. Before.
Well, I realized just how badly I dress and how badly most North American people dress, actually, compared to the European men. They are definitely styling at all times of the day.
Yes.
They love skinny jean suits or skinny suits. Or maybe they're just skinny. I don't know.
It's all about the skinny suit.
They have awesome socks and shoes with those suits.
Oh, of course.
Everyone's wearing a jacket. Everyone's wearing a jacket for sure. But I was staying off at a conference center locale. As you know, they're just oh so stylish to go out and hang out by the conference center. So I would basically jump on the subway every day after the conference to be able to go off to the cooler area where they actually had real food and then eat and have dinner. But I learned as well in Europe, I should know this from when we did Tech Ed Europe and other things like that out that way, where they had you would have after dinner or after work meat and cheese plates and like nibblies with drinks.
Yeah.
And you do that for like 3-4 hours and eventually you have dinner at like 9 o'clock.
In Milan, this is how it is.
Yeah.
I know that's how it is in Spain.
It's like how it is almost everywhere, apparently. I don't know. But I found this one really cool cocktail bar that you would like. It was called Unconventional Twist. And so they would always go in and put a twist on all the conventional cocktails that you could order. So I did not have any Campari. Is that how you say it? Campari?
Yeah, I think so.
You know what Campari is?
It's like some
orange drink or something like that. That seemed to be very popular. I didn't have any of that, but I had a very nice peach-infused bourbon drink, which was quite good.
I saw that.
Very, very nice. And I also had a some kind of a rum thing.
So Joe Kelly says that's how it is all over Northern Italy, that Northern Italy does the whole have some meats and cheeses and beverages.
I guess it's closer to Spain and stuff like that.
And France.
Switzerland?
No.
Well, I guess it is. There's a border in Spain-Italy, isn't there?
No.
I thought they attach into each other.
No.
Just off to the side.
No.
It's not directly on.
No.
It's a boot.
No.
It's a boot.
No.
Anyway. Yes.
Aperitivi.
Yes.
Aperitivi is the name for pre-dinner. And drink.
But the coolest thing was I actually found craft beer there as well.
Oh.
There was actually this place called BQ, which that was the name of the brewery.
Beer Queen?
No, not Beer Queen. BQ. I have to look at my Untappd.
BQ is the Dairy Queen. I thought BQ is the Beer Queen.
That would be a good name for a brewery here in North America.
I don't think so.
So they basically had 10 different casks of gravity-fed pump,
yeah,
which is quite good. And then they had another dozen or so different on-tap beer you could have as well. Quite nice compared to your simple, do you want a red beer or do you want a white beer, which is what they would ask you. You know, from a bottle, do you want a red, do you want to have a regular? So, like a Morietti, white Pilsner.
Yeah.
Or they'd have a red amber that they would have as well. But no, I was there working. I was speaking at a conference. I actually had to deliver some really cool content. But the interesting thing that I found was I did the, you know, this is Azure IaaS. This is your life in a cloud thing that I've been doing for like 5
this
years.
This is the cloud. This is your infrastructure in the cloud. Any questions?
Any questions? And they were eating it up like they hadn't even heard it before. Like it was crazy. I was expecting more people to be familiar with it. So it was a good discussion to that one there. And then we did, I did one session that I was very proud of because I learned about this technology before leaving, which was the whole big discussion around containers. But it was a dev session that I was doing. And so I did it as, hi, I'm your IT pro, and I'm going to talk to you about how I care about containers and how you should care about them too. And it went down really well. Ooh. Really well.
Yeah?
Yeah, totally well.
So you did a good...
I did it from the perspective of the ops guy supporting container technology inside of your environment. And
so
it was command line.
So what's kind of the net... What's the elevator pitch of your session? Like,
the elevator pitch of your session is...
You got to leave with this knowledge.
The easiest part is the fact that, hey, if I can figure it out, you can figure it out. But the coolest thing was it's the exact same tooling that you want to use, and the container works on any platform you want. And I literally, my demo was, I SSH'd into a Linux box up in Azure as my quote-unquote workstation. I did my Docker engine and my Docker command line stuff I need to do for my containers, do a bunch of different deploys, and then look how easy it is to use a remote box. One command, boom, done. I'm now doing it to a cluster up in Azure, on Azure Container Service.
Joe Kelly says, containers, if Rick can do it, anyone can.
Yes.
So, wonder if Racinovich just started using that.
I know, right? So that was a very good discussion that we had for that one there.
Mr. Black Sweden says, welcome to Europe. The cloud is not nearly as well known here and even less well received. Actually, I don't know if I agree with that.
It's being very well received in this one that I was at. But then again, it was the cloud roadshow. So people
from what I see in terms of particularly cloud identity and Office 365 adoption.
So they're stoked.
Europe is actually happening more rapidly than it is happening here.
They're stoked about the fact that we're coming up with national clouds for different specific regions, data protection, stuff like that. So the German data centers that we announced, they're very interested about that. Obviously, Northern Europe and East and Western Europe are the other two data centers out that way.
Yes.
They were very impressed with how simple and quick you simply use the command line tools, because, again, I was big on Azure CLI from a Linux perspective, and they always were just blown away the fact that the Microsoft guy that if you cut, he bleeds blue, doing all of his demos at the command line, all in
Linux.
Docker and all in Linux. They love the fact that I was doing that too. I didn't take the time to put Bash on Windows because my box was not the anniversary edition of Windows 10. So it was just the regular version.
Right.
I didn't want to put the Bash on it.
You don't want to put the Bash on it?
So, although, again, blew their mind the fact that all these commands using the Docker space can work on any device that you happen to be working with. And they also like the fact that... it was so easy to set up orchestration in containers with Azure Container Service. Because the neat thing we did there, and this is a good talking point I learned from Ross, the guy that owns the service, we purposely chose to go with Docker Swarm and to go with DCOS from Mesosphere as two offerings when you're deploying your container service on Azure, because the open source side has a huge amount of momentum and iteration and fast iteration and trial and cool stuff going on. But some people want to have a bit more stability and longevity for the stuff they've been working with. And so basically now you have both flavors. You got the Swarm area for the crazy fast iteration of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the DCOS stuff for Mesosphere, which is tried and true and proven. Siri uses it. Twitter uses it.
Right.
That sort of stuff from the DCOS Mesosphere guys. And it's basically, oh, look, container works here. Blop. Oh, look, it looks over there. Blop.
Chuck Richards is asking, and I actually have the same question because I get it all the time, any concerns on privacy in your discussions that you have?
What, that I was talking too loud?
Over in Europe.
Hear me? Oh.
Over in Europe. Is it because when you talk cloud.
Yeah, data sovereignty and privacy.
Data sovereignty
privacy. You're asking this to the Canadian guy.
I know,
has the
right?
largest big brother that lives south of the 49th parallel. So obviously it came up, but I've been talking about privacy and where your data resides sort of stuff for a while. And the topic came up, and it's just a matter of you choose where your data resides. And so far, we've got a very strong track record with regards to data sovereignty and protection, where we respect the laws and the privacy of our customers above all else.
The following quote is from Joe Kelly and represents absolutely nothing with my employer or anybody I work with, but I want to read this out. Joe Kelly states, "Cloud privacy, how's that any different than your on-prem privacy? Tenants are isolated in Azure and AWS to levels I would say are stronger than most corporate internal environments are from the outside," end quote, Joe Kelly.
Thanks, Joe. The check's in the mail. it's true. I mean, like any data center conversation, you have to trust your provider. And trust is something that takes a long time to build up, and the slightest momentum can tip that trust.
Now, Pierre Roman brings up a good point, which says data residency or data sovereignty, that being a difference.
That's a good one.
Now, that's why we've built some of these data centers in regions where data sovereignty is super important. Mm-hmm. Canada, Germany.
Up in Kazakhstan, we're very serious about this.
Yes.
Very, very serious about this. And same thing with Germany, for sure. Germany is actually really cool with the operation methods we're going to be working out of there. And I just recently had to deal with some issues working with our partners that run the data centers in China.
Oh, yeah?
It's again, because, you know, for instance...
That's like, right. You're responsible. Like, you can press a button and deploy stuff.
Well, through proper authentication and procedures and the proper tooling, let's be clear.
Including just-in-time elevation.
Just-in-time elevation and dedicated workstations that I'm not allowed to use for anything except for doing this.
That's right.
SAW workstations.
That's right.
I am able to go in and to deploy a VHD as an image, a platform image, across all of our data centers, because that's part of the jobs that I do. And I realized, because I got a comment from someone in South Australia, it's like, how come I don't have that image yet? And I'm like, you do? It's like, no, I don't. It's like, hang on a second. Yeah, you don't.
Says, whoops. Let me press that button.
Apparently, because I'm the new guy in the block, I don't have access to that data center. And my account has to have access to the... Because in case you don't know, our Australian data centers, you actually have to have residency inside of the national region of either Australia or New Zealand to be able to have access to that particular data center itself.
Joe Kelly says, Canadian data centers, the friendliest and least threatening cloud environments anywhere. Run in D.C., staffed by Moose and cooled 100% by maple syrup and Molson Canadian.
if you're from the Canadian area...
If you violate
area,
security, do they like apologize? Oh, we're sorry. You can't have access to this, eh?
I don't know. It's it's on the news yesterday. There was actually... what's his name? Mr. Vickers. You wouldn't know this at all. These Canadian guys know this. He was the sergeant at arms that basically saved some stuff in the parliament a while ago when there was a terrorist attack that went on in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And he was actually given the job as the Irish ambassador later on for his work. And they were having a ceremony in Ireland, and there was a protester that basically all of a sudden started to rush the color party at this thing. He went into RCMP mode.
Oh.
Went over, grabbed him by the lapels. He's like a 59-year-old guy. And like this protester is like in his 20s or 30s and basically moves him continuously, so he's not stopping, moves him continuously away from everything that's going on, and then the police go get him. And then he like kind of shuffles his coat off and walks back and sits down, and he's in the delegate area.
That's awesome.
Insane. Absolutely insane.
That is crazy. Pierre Roman wants to point out they don't need much cooling up in the Great White North, eh? I don't
it's
know.
Definitely that, called, it's definitely
they don't actually have roofs on those data centers, do they?
The data centers in Canada, you can actually, and Pierre would know what I mean by this, take boiling maple syrup, pour it on top of the roof, and then roll it up with a popsicle stick and eat it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That cold. Sweet. That's awesome.
That cold.
That covers kind of what we've been doing.
Yes.
I've got a ton of guidance and stuff that I've been working on. Unfortunately, none of it's done yet. I mean, that's the thing. Five weeks into the new role. So first few weeks is onboarding, but then the next is getting processes in place to get stuff built. But we will be getting some pretty amazing stuff. And there's some stuff I want to float out to the audience at some point.
6 months after you're done, then you realize, oh.
Yeah, right?
I'm really doing this now.
Yeah. But Mark Morrow, who was here last episode when things went to hell in a handbasket on Friday the 13th.
I think he's still shaking his head. Like, why did I go on that show?
Oh, believe me, he still shakes his head and asks my boss why they hired me. So after that, he's like, you realize what happened? Go back and watch it. Mark Morrow was around, and we actually been having a chat about... thinking about how do you take, and I don't want to disclose too much because I am going to come out and I'm going to ask for some comment from the audience later, but I want him to teach me as an on-premises AD guy, somebody who loves AD through and through and identity and all that, and convert my skill set from being on-premises identity to being cloud-based identity.
Or so, hybrid.
Yeah. Or, well, correct. But to do that, you need to move aspects of this to the cloud. So we're going to be talking about some of that stuff and kind of going through some of that and documenting it along the way, basically kind of giving some good guidance and feedback for our customers. So, yeah, that's what we have going there. What about beer money? Now, you've been traveling, but typically when we've traveled, that's when the bulk of your beer money support requests come in because you're not home to manage.
Yes.
And do support. Are you still? Don't tell me.
No, this time it's printers.
Oh, no.
Multifunction printers. I'm so sick and tired.
Dude, just replace it. It's like $40.
I know,
but replace it.
I've got
three. The ink costs more than the printer.
I've got three multifunction printers.
Yeah.
Why?
I've accumulated over the years. Accumulated over the years. And my kid needs to print a color thing for school today. And it wasn't working. My wife is cursing and swearing at me over Skype when I was in Italy because it wasn't working. And she needs to have something. He needs to have something printed out for school. And she's like, "Rick, you got to do this tonight." And I'm like, "I can't even keep my eyes open, really." So I go in the back room and I'm trying to figure stuff out. Just plug it in. It's not recognizing the device, the USB connection. It's not.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? I go and I download, I remove it, I add more drivers into it. I go and look. It's an old USB square A connector.
Yeah.
It's plugged in the Ethernet port in the back of. It fits perfectly.
Does it really?
It fits perfectly inside of an Ethernet jack.
I had no idea.
Neither did I until I went through the back of the printer. And that's why it wasn't working.
Hashtag printer horror stories. Did you read Ned Pyle's tweet?
Which
series?
One?
The 80 horror stories?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God. Now, if you guys haven't who are listening online, go to Twitter, search hashtag 80 horror stories. It is... It's. I swear, I've gone through half of these myself. I've been through this, but they're absolutely brilliant. Joe Kelly says, "I'm convinced most home printers are built and sold by the mob. Once you get one, then she just starts writing on how much you owe them for ink, and somehow they just stop working and they come around and ask for more money for more ink." You're absolutely right. One Wise Geek says he's actually done that once or twice when he couldn't see the back of the PC. I had no idea that a USB-A will actually fit in an Ethernet port. Well, that's good knowledge. I'm going to check that next time I have a printer support call. Is it plugged into the right port?
You know, something that might have fixed that is it's probably using IPX SPX as its Ethernet protocol.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Instead of TCP/IP.
Yeah.
That's funny. Really funny.
Yeah. But I do have this lovely Samsung color laser that has no LCD panel on it. It just has lights. And it has one light for each of the different toner cartridges. It's either green or yellow. And then it has one overall blinking light for status. And it simply warms up and then goes through the cycle, 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 and stops with like a blinking flash red. And that's it.
It's master alarm.
Yeah, the master alarm's gone off.
I know. What do I do? So that one there is like, okay, that was a freebie. That one's Bruce gave me that one.
Yeah.
It's a color laser.
I know, but...
And when it works, it's fine. But when it doesn't work, you don't know what the hell's wrong with it. How to fix it.
Well, does it blink a certain number of times?
No,
and is there a manual to look at?
There's no code. No, it's just like red. That's it. Red, red, red. That's it.
NetBuoy printer. Got to credit Mr. Black Sweden for that one.
Oh, that's a good one. That one there is, again, that's another. It's like, what do you do with these things? Electronic recycling, I guess. Because I don't know how to do them. I still have. So the good thing is, I somehow acquire enterprise grade printers, and I use them in my house, and they are damn rock solid. They're never going to freaking fall apart. I don't care about having some kind of scanning capability on them or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
So here's
who
the
cares?
Thing. You need to quit diving into the recycle bins.
I only got stuck once.
Bins.
I've only been stuck in there once, and you will not go
I
past
know,
that.
But it was 5 minutes before the show started.
I know, but just because I had to get you to help me get out of the thing again.
Well,
I mean,
look,
the walls are tall in these
really
things.
Did you really need that CDRW external drive
Someone is complaining to me that he doesn't have one, so I had to give it back to him, and that's the one I gave, so it's fine.
All right, sounds good.
He didn't say which one he needed back.
Yeah.
Jason Velocity has posted the link to the 80 Horror Stories Twitter search, so I appreciate that. Pierre asks, do you still have the HP LaserJet 4 at home? You've got to. Those things are bomb-proof. Yeah. They work forever.
Yep.
They work forever.
The big cartridge.
Yeah. Did you get the little HP network interface on it?
I have one.
Yes.
That I pulled out of the recycle bin because there I saw the.
A nightmare to get configured initially.
No, but I looked at the back of it. I'm like, is that an HP JetDirect?
Yeah. Oh, good old JetDirect cards, man.
Quick, get my knife out.
You tell me you've been doing IT for a while.
I carry my knife for a reason because it's got a Phillips screwdriver.
I'm a little nervous now.
Exactly.
Hey, it's a tool, man.
Hey,
it's
put that away.
Look at that. I got pliers. I got the screwdrivers. Yep. More importantly, the beer opener.
Thanks for sharing.
The beer opener right there.
Beer opener.
There we go. Are we on Segway already to beer? You must have had some beer money.
I've done no beer money support. In the house currently... computer systems are not the priority, which we'll get into when we get into random spending.
I found the other day in the hallway, and I should have grabbed it, and it is a HP LaserJet 2, just to take out with a baseball bat. Somebody left it in the hallway in the dumpster down.
LaserJet 2?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Just to recreate the scene from Office Space.
and they call Rick a hoarder. Goodness gracious.
Nice.
Sean Lowe, PC load letter. How many times have we seen that error message, right? Oh, goodness. Welcome to Fair Brit. Our very own Essex girl has joined us. Good to see you. How's Denver? Now Sean Lowe's like, I need to watch Office Space again. It was actually on. I think, I don't know if it was Stars or Encore, one of those. It was on the other night. Unfortunately, it was past some of the good parts. And I'm like, I don't like this segment of the movie.
Exactly.
All right, moving on. We've talked about From the Trenches. We've done beer money. Do we want to do beer talk or random spending?
We're just flying through the show.
Well, I mean, we're halfway through it, and I figure once we get to beer talk and random spending, we'll typically talk a while.
Yeah, but so. then we lose at least.
Yeah, we don't want to lose Ludwig, right?
No, we just keep him around.
Should we do random spending?
Yeah.
I bought a boat. Is that random spending enough?
That's quite arrived random. Yet?
It's
Is it arriving
here
today?
It's here.
It's not even
I'm
going to
pick it
yet?
Up tomorrow.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So it actually arrived from Tennessee.
Are you going to be able to move that thing around?
Yeah, dude, I've got to explore. It's
No. But once you get it inside your like general area, how are you going to get it inside your like garage?
I know how to park a trailer, dude.
Inside your garage, attached to your truck. You're able to maneuver it in that thing?
Well, you just give it enough room, yeah. Hmm? Otherwise, you can just move it. It's only like 3,000 pounds.
You can like pick it up and like
move it? It's on wheels, dude. You can just push hard. No, it will be.
They sell the electronic little dolly thingies that move.
Yeah, I know.
Move
I should probably get one of those.
Here's the
thing.
That'd be good.
Can I tell you the known term for boat is bring another 1,000.
Yeah,
they are not wrong.
A boat.
They're not wrong about a boat. A boot.
Yeah, a boot.
A boat. A boot.
It's about.
Yeah.
About a boat.
About a boat.
About a boat.
About a boat. Say that
ten
times.
Two words
Huawei,
I have a hard
with
time
a Canadian.
Saying.
Huawei.
two words I have a hard time saying.
So. Yes.
Can you hand me my drinks over there?
Yeah, hang on.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was just talking about the boat.
Thanks.
Pierre Roman says you're in freaking Seattle. You leave it in the water all year. No, not this boat. It's only a little 20-footer. So first
you
thing.
You could store it in the stormwater pond.
Oh, I totally could. It's right by the house, too. I wonder if I could get it in. And
there's a ramp. Is there a ramp on the store? Yes, there are.
Really?
Phony ramps on them. Is there one by my house?
I don't know if I get. Yeah, anyway.
That would be hilarious. I still want to look into that now.
So you've got, when you get it, you've got to buy life jackets for everybody. You've got to buy anchors, ropes, tie downs.
Yeah, you have to little whistle.
Fender,
and things.
Bumper things. No, it's got a horn on it. But you have to have an emergency air horn, which I
have the refillable ones.
Well, you did.
Did you take it?
I don't know.
I've got to look for it.
last time I saw it was in your toolbox.
Nice. Wait a second. My toolbox was at your house building your fence. Great.
Flare guns? No. Before you ask, no.
Oh, I know with flare guns, you should not fire them unless you actually need them.
That's right. I know that. That means no, you can't test it.
No, I know. I'm not. Back in Canada, I had an incident with a flare gun.
So. No, really? Shocker.
They said it wouldn't be on my record, though.
Really? Did you get? Okay, anyway. We probably shouldn't talk about that particularly because the whole background check thing.
Background is not good.
So I bought a boat. That's the random spending, isn't it?
I think that basically, where's the cash register sound? Cha-ching. I think you broke the bank on that one.
Yeah.
So, Rick, what did you buy? There we go. Well, that's definitely the. Okay, now stop. Thank you. Technology on the boat.
Yes.
You segue into that. What kind of technology is on the boat?
Wi-Fi? Wi-Fi? No, I don't have Wi-Fi on the boat.
Why not?
You're supposed to be enjoying it, not sitting there watching freaking YouTube. Ooh, I need to watch YouTubes about how to.
Your daughter's going to make like Musical.ly's on the boat or something.
They need to be able to post their videos immediately.
Once we get off the water, they can do that.
Picture Rick on the back in a tube, and then you driving to get me off. You want that live streamed?
Oh no, no. What we want is we want it recorded so that we can get it in different types of slow motion at different angles. Yeah.
Rick falling off the tube in 120 frames a second, folks.
4K, 120 frames per second.
Yes, exactly.
Larry, where's the new cameras?
Sorry. So we get the tech on the boat. So I do have a depth finder. What other tech do I have? We've got good, pretty decent sound system.
Mm-hmm.
Have the wakeboard tower. That's not really tech.
Does it go up and down?
It's manual.
No.
The automated one is just way too much money for what it does, dude.
You can buy an actuator for it.
You don't really need it because all you have to do is just pop two things and it drops. It's not that hard.
Okay. I'll ask you that question again when you get me to lift it up for you one time.
It's really not that. Yeah, anyway. Of course, then again, I'm talking to somebody who put a winch in to put his top for his Jeep.
Of course.
Yeah. There is, I did measure, it appears that there is enough room in one of the coolers. To have a keg, it would have to be upright, but it could be secured by the ice.
You got some ice or some
but that's only for transportation to the location of where we hang out. You don't keep it on the boat. Don't keep it on the boat.
No alcohol.
Well, you can consume it. It's just the driver has to be sober, and you have to prove
it. It's like a car, man. There's no open liquor in a boat.
Iffy.
Okay. I'll let you ask the sheriff that when they come
over. Well, I haven't gotten to that section of the boater safety course, so.
Trying to silence it.
Anyway.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Got it.
So there's that. Let's see.
Shamlo has a good point.
What?
Wireless Life says fish finder. Do you actually fish on boats? Not this boat. This boat is a troll around the lake, get dragged behind on a tube, or actually, you know, I got to tell you.
See?
We were trying to figure out, so I love to kneeboard. It's something I've always done because water skiing was just brutal on my knees.
It's because you're too tall to stand up and water ski.
No, I can stand up and water ski. And then it's like, well, let's do the wakeboarding thing. And the problem is that I've got kids who are growing like absolute weeds right now, and then there's other kids. And so sizing the wakeboards and the bindings and all that, it's just.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I don't know what we're going to do. There is a device that literally is all of it in one.
What?
It's a knee board. You can wakeboard on it. You don't have to have bindings on it, though. It has little bindings, and you can just put the pieces in and out. It's fantastic. And most of the people who I've read, of course, the way I purchase is I don't purchase anything without 900 reviews, and they have to be at least 5-star averages. So all the reviews were like, "This is great for the first X number of years." That's all I really need to get through.
Yeah.
Until the kids decide, okay, this is what I want to do. And decide they like it. So, yeah. Pierre Roman says that's the point of taking a ride on the boat, the six-pack at the end of the line.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Or the cake.
When the boat is on the back of the trailer, you're doing your maintenance on the boat. That's when you
cleaning.
Can have beer. The cleaning, the maintenance, and that sort of stuff. Yep. Flushing the engine.
Yep, absolutely. Right. When it's at home and everybody's, and you cook up some brats and some sausages.
That can work.
Yeah.
That can work.
So that's my random spending. Now, I know you've done some random spending, which will actually lead into beer talk.
Yes. I finally got around to buying the automated keg washer.
Ooh.
So the automated keg washer has arrived.
Yes, it has.
And it literally is a plastic basin. with appropriate structural integrity and volume measurement. It has a submersible pump, which I'm still kind of nervous about having like electrical wires going into the water, but it's designed that way. Yeah, it's designed for that. It's lacking a switch. However, what I figure is that we can use the switch that we have for the pump for the regular system as the switch for
The one that we keep blowing out.
We'll spend the money and get a good GFI this time as opposed to the cheap GFIs that we just keep on replacing.
Yeah.
We'll get the 20 amp version of the GFI instead of the 15 amp version of the GFI.
Visio MVP says the keg washer's name is Joey. He's not that far off.
Actually, it's Jared.
It started as Chuck,
and then it progressed to Jared. Joey, for some reason, likes to stay away from the washing part as much as possible.
No.
Yeah.
I've washed the kegs. Oh, I do most of the sanitizer.
You're mostly sanitizer guy.
Yeah.
You're not the cleaning guy.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So anyway, I spun it up for the very first time last night, and it works out quite well. It has multiple attachments that allows you to also clean your hoses, which is quite cool. So you can actually plug on a hose, and then you can plug a hose that then plugs into a beer post, which then plugs into the keg as well.
So
you've got the big, massive amount of liquid going up and then cleaning the inside of the keg.
Right.
And you've also got the beer draw tube that's cleaned from the inside as well.
So it can clean the little posts out.
Yep.
Ooh.
Very nice. Doesn't do it for gas, but the gas post is quite small anyway. And you take the other remaining parts and you just sit them inside the cleaner and off it goes. So I can't wait until we transfer 20 gallons of beer out of the four carboys so I can just sit them on top of this thing, turn it on, sit on my butt on the couch, have a pint, and watch it clean.
Absolutely. Did we do a show since we did the brew at Hi-Fi?
I don't think we did.
No.
I don't think we did.
No.
So we actually brewed at a fantastic local brewery here.
Yep.
They're amazing. So big shout out to the Hi-Fi folks. But we did our competition, we did the competition. After the competition, we did the American Homebrewers Day, the big brew day.
Yes.
What did we make there? Did we make a golden then?
We made the golden then.
Okay. Yes. So the golden is off.
Yeah, it's currently in secondary, waiting. Ready to be filtered and carbonated.
Ledwig, we'll be done with this in 5 minutes, so just join us back in 5 minutes. Then we went to Hi-Fi. And we brewed...
It was a social corporate event.
That's right. A social corporate event. And we brewed a wit. Did we not do a wit?
Yes.
Or a hef?
We did a wit. And Ryan did a hef.
So I got to tell people, the system that they have there that Ryan was using, and I forget what it's called, is literally the kitchen sink.
Yes.
Actually, it's four kitchen sinks.
Three kitchen sinks.
I thought it was four.
Three.
Oh, three kitchen sinks.
Three sinks.
Yeah, three kitchen sinks.
You got it. Three.
Yeah. America's funniest home brewing. That is actually us, Oddity. So this is amazing. It is three stainless steel kitchen or professional sinks that have been converted. Now Ryan has used this system many a time, but he ran into a bit of an issue in that he couldn't get his wort. Or it was actually the mash. You couldn't get the mash heated enough. So we actually had to rig up our system to that system, which was fully automated. This is a fully automated electronic brewing system. Quit it. Would you pay attention? We're doing a show.
I'm trying to read my mail, man. I got my regular job I got to do.
I understand, but you can do that in like 15 minutes.
Yes, there are some important emails that I have to respond to.
In 15 minutes. So what happened... So it's a fully electronic system. It's supposed to be like press a button and like it heats it up and then another button, it transfers it and then it boils it.
Because there is a proximity of claws in the neighborhood.
Yes.
Things were not working.
We found out why.
What was it?
The heating element wasn't plugged in.
Oh, nice. So he, making beer, you have to have constant temperature, obviously, to be able to get things working correctly. And because there was no heating element, it didn't work. So we, being good brewmasters that we are, loaned him our equipment to be able to get his temperature up to speed and do the beer, and we'll see where it comes out at. But both of those beer blew their tops with the amount of yeast activity and made a big mess in my back bathroom where they're currently being stored and fermenting. My wife reminded me of that actually last night about how... She hopes I enjoy my cleaning time. So apparently I won't be able to sit my butt on the couch, watch the kegs being cleaned.
No.
I'll be cleaning the back bathroom.
Yes.
Because of the yeast eruptions that happen at different points.
Yes. Enjoy your cleaning time.
Yeah.
The good thing we have the keg washers.
Yeah, totally.
So we did brew. We did save the day. So we saved the day. We've got good beer karma. We have to have good beer karma after this, mm-hmm. because we helped a couple of different people. The one guy during when we were brewing for the big brew,
he almost blew himself up with
because he kept trying to light his propane burner and it would light inside and not outside. So that means my guess is it's a spider web in there.
Spider web,
yeah. Pretty easy to clean out. But yeah, and then saving Ryan's beer though, that brew took a long time. I mean, it took probably 7 hours by the time we were all done, set, and cleaned up and moved out. So, yeah, lots of beer there. Any other beer talk? Have you had some good beer in Italy.
I had some good beer in Italy. I found this little place. I was told what I'm supposed to say, and I forget what it is. Let me see if I can find it here. Ralph Squalace gave me some ideas of what I'm supposed to say. If I say Ralph and beer, see how well this comes up in my searches conversation. Got to see what it is. Looking. No, that's cannot. No, that's not it either. Where is it? You still far away? He came up with a perfect sentence. I'm supposed to stay in Italian.
Oh, did he teach you Italian?
He taught me Italian. It's not there. Can't find it. Anyway,
all right. Everybody's gonna miss out.
It was an awesome, here I am, a tourist. I'm going to try to speak Italian line that basically says when you walk in, you say, give me your finest local craft beer. And it was in Italian.
Oh, yeah?
But I don't know what it was.
Does anybody – and there are good or fine local craft beers. Though you either beer, ask for a white or a red, right?
That's it. If you don't have craft beer, basically it's whatever they happen to have on tap. Normally it's a Moriarty's or Moriarty, whatever it is. And then a
dark Moriarty?
Leffe was quite popular over there too.
Okay.
That's that one there as well. But no, this place, like, they literally had, IPAs, they had sours, they had bitters. I met a great guy from Manchester, Jimmy. He loved me. He saw me walk in. He's like, you like to drink, don't you? I'm like, what?
My guess is his accent wasn't Canadian or North Dakota.
It was definitely very, very strong English.
Strong Manchester.
He only was drinking bitters. And he goes to Italy 3 times a year to bike. He's a bicyclist. A road racer guy. And he's like 60-something. And
so this is like, he's not even involved in the technology side of things. He just saw me and knows that I... So he walks into a bar.
He's already there drinking.
Oh, he's already... And you walk in.
I walk in.
With your Tilly hat.
And I'm looking around, and then he's like, you like to drink, don't you? How'd you guess?
As a matter of fact, I do.
He says, I saw the sparkle in your eyes. I was going to do I don't know an accent, which I can do, but I could picture a very thick Manchester accent.
Yeah,
And he's basically saying, I saw the sparkle in your eyes when you saw the taps. And literally, I put a picture up on Facebook. It's a door that's like only wide enough for people to go in.
What the hell are you doing?
You're doing selfies or something?
Yeah, I think so.
I got that from MKEO77.
Uh-huh. Yeah, some, I didn't want to see that
casks.
Picture.
Nice.
Just kidding.
Anyway, the door was just big enough to be able to look in, and then on the inside you had enough space for a passageway to be able to go back and forth to the washroom or the water closet.
The WC.
And then the other side was all just bar, and it was a high bar, actually, that had the various different serving mechanisms on it. And they charged you an extra euro to get a polyurethane cup that allowed you to drink outside by the canal. So you could sit by the canal, literally on the railing of the canal.
For an extra $2 US.
$1.29 US.
Oh, it's better now, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good. And that's where you were able to drink. And as Mary mentioned, I should probably stop tweeting the amount of alcohol that I was drinking. Because apparently I took over his feed. Jared's feed with the amount of badges that I was getting.
You were getting badges like crazy, man.
So I have to turn off. I'm going to be respectful of my Twitter stream, and I got to turn off my untapped linked connections.
Auto tweets.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't get those.
Maybe you just didn't follow me anymore.
Probably.
You blocked me.
Joe Kelly, craft beer is difficult in Italy. Then Frederick says there's quite some good beers in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm with Joe Kelly. He says, in the Czech Republic, it's all beer. Some of the finest lagers I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I had an Italian Pilsner.
Yeah?
How was it? Quite good. It's actually quite good.
Excellent.
Actually quite good.
I
have not been. I will honestly say, there's two places that I need to find a way for Microsoft to pay for me to go. So if anyone's out there and has a conference that takes place in the Czech Republic or in Germany,
I would be
more than happy to attend and deliver a session.
Really need to go.
Yes. And I also was just recently hit on the head by email asking if I'd be interested to go down and talk in New Zealand once again. I haven't been there in a while.
Oh, in NZ.
In NZ. I haven't been down in NZ for a while to be able to talk as well. So I got to talk to my boss, see if he'll let me go off and talk.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Depends. Did you get your documentation done?
So,
That's
some of my
over.
Other meetings
did
I have
you,
to deal with.
Did you do any random spending? I mean, I kind of jumped over it. But, I mean, apart from the beer stuff, have you done any of the other stuff? Nothing? Okay. All right.
I'm thinking.
Those of you who are in the Twitters who are part of the crew's Facebook page, have you been there lately? Mm-hmm. Have you seen some of the frivolity that's been going on?
No.
There has been some fantastic war stories going on the crew's Facebook page. Where you've got Jeff Stevens apparently their IT department does an annual disaster recovery exercise. The auditors require the logs. And this story I literally about spit out coffee to spit take when I read this. He wanted to test to see if the auditors really read the logs. So he added a special message in, which was, help me, I'm trapped in a data center, call my dad. And it had the cell phone number in it. And I would assume they called, because at the end it says, they definitely read the audit log messages. I thought that was absolutely outstanding. And yeah. I'm just thinking to myself, if I ever go back into that world again where I am responsible for doing having to do compliance audit logs and stuff just to see, I would have to put some snarky little message in there.
I know that they obviously go through a whole bunch of compliance stuff for Azure AD and for all of our services inside of Azure as well.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to try to sneak one of those in, see what they say, see if anyone notices.
I'm pretty sure
that's a career eliminating move, I think.
That's an RGE, a resume generating event. Yeah, exactly.
They have a PowerShell script for that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do they? Okay. Let's see. There are low number badges. You've just been called out for having low numbered badges because some of your friends have higher levels, like 50s and 60s level of your beer badges.
I know. It's...
I don't check in a lot of beer.
Yeah,
that's my problem is that I get
very,
caught up in drinking.
Yeah, people are very.
It's like, I don't get my phone out. I'm drinking.
Do you remember Foursquare?
Yes.
Does anyone still do it?
It's now called
Swarm.
Yeah.
Do you still do it?
No. I don't do it. I had my mayorship.
The only time I ever use Foursquare is if I'm checking in a beer. That's it.
On Untappd. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, does Untappd do a Foursquare or a Swarm check in?
You can do a Swarm check in if you want for where you're drinking your beer. And so it's like, I don't know. I used Untappd to track what beer I've tried.
Yeah. See, my problem is I just keep forgetting to input it in.
Yeah.
Oddity. We have a client wanting to upgrade from Windows 2000 because the auditors are coming. And then he goes, blah.
Yeah.
Swarm Square?
Swarm Square.
Oddity says Swarm Square.
Nice.
So that's, I don't use it.
Yep. Neither do I.
I mean, I
stopped.
Yeah, I mean, I had my mayorship.
So I don't have an app for it. I have Windows Phone.
Oh,
sorry.
There you go.
Windows Phone.
All right, we have.
There might. There
you
might
have
be
2 minutes. You have 2 minutes to go into this conversation.
There might
right now.
Be a random spending purchase happening.
There might be. You posted it on Twitter already.
No,
and Facebook.
I was collecting information about it.
Okay, what did your collection tell you?
So far, I think we're at 60 plus comments on my one Facebook post.
Yes.
About which ecosystem I should invest in.
Yes.
Either Droid or Fruit.
Correct.
And it's literally almost down to the wire split with which ones I should go with. And ultimately, it's probably going to come down to what is the rest of my tribe using. Currently, mm-hmm. my tribe at home is all Fruit. And it's also coming down to build quality, because I've been dealing with build quality of hardware components that are put together inside Windows phones for a while. And there's a bit tighter control under the build components inside of a Fruit device than there are over top the other ones. I will say The 7 Edge is a very close competitor because it feels so nice in your hand.
Yeah.
It is waterproof, so that's one extra tick box for Rick, for sure. But the problem is that you have so much other stuff on that particular device.
Yeah.
Because of just the extra typical OEM build process of what they put on it, that would just get in my way, I think. So anyway, I don't know. I'm leaning heavily towards going to the Fruit device, and that pains me to say.
I hear you.
But as Scott Ledwig said, he says, "Don't worry, come to the light. The rest of us that are already here will welcome you with open arms."
Well, maybe not you.
Oh.
Bring beer.
Bring beer. Except for
that's quite possible.
So, yeah. Well, so I made the move, and it came down to a decision.
I tried to call the car service to pick me up yesterday. My freaking phone wouldn't dial.
Are you serious?
That's the exact problem I ran into. And so,
oh, is it time?
We need names. That's it. We need words.
We're gonna get it on. Put it in the chat room. The naming of next time's show. Three random words work safe. The band is here finally. Does that mean we get to pay them only half? Because they only showed up for half the show. All right. That does it again for another exciting episode of the Patch and Switch Show. Big thank you to Soren, Oddity, Ledwig, One Wise Geek, Pierre Roman, Frederick, Essex Girl, Desired by Life, Wireless Life, Jay Shock. Thanks for doing the controls there. Sean Lowe, Mr. Black Sweden, Aldershot Chris, MKE077, MBNet, MGBNet, good to see you. Joe Kelly, Chuck Rocks Canada, Jason Velocity, Steve Hosko, thanks for joining live. Hope to see you next time. Vizio MVP, Peace Drama. Until we see you again in 2 weeks' time, have a weekend, everybody.
It's just going to be dicey tonight.